This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hello, I'm Charlie. I live in Liverpool and I've been sober for a year and almost 5 months now. I was introduced to the Over the Influence community almost a year ago now. I started listening to their podcast a few months into my journey and it really helped me. Yeah, I think just a sense of community is really strong and really positive and helps people keep going and realise that they're not alone, because life can be more fun and more amazing and just better without drinking, and I think we all remind each other of that. Yeah, I'm just so grateful that I found them, because I don't know what I'd do without them now, to be honest.
You've heard the podcast, now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome to Over the Influence. Thank you so much for listening. We have had quite literally thousands upon thousands of downloads, something ridiculous now. It's getting bigger and better by the week, and it's because of the amazing guests that we have. Cannot wait to introduce today's guest to you very, very shortly. Before I do that, if you are just listening to us for the very first time, thank you so much. Just allow me to reintroduce ourselves. Normally I go first, but I bang on far too much. Freddie in the future. Yes, you there, looking startled on the Zoom call. Hello and welcome. Tell us a little bit about you.
Hello. Oh, Freddie coming first. Not the first time I've said that. Anyway, hello everybody. My name is Freddie. I am here in the future in New Zealand. I am hopefully soon coming up to 1,000 days alcohol free. 1,000 days ago, my life was a nightmare. I was a bit of a drunken disaster, but I thought, why not go 90 days alcohol-free? Then I got to 6 months, then I got the year, and then the rest, they say, is history. And I am so excited to be here with you all today. We've got an amazing guest, and yes, that is the end of me coming first.
That was quick, Freddie.
Again.
Thank you.
Words I hear fairly often.
I don't do this on my own. I am like, a sober rose between two thorns, something like that. Background Bear, help me out.
Hello. Well, I would like to say that I would jump in next, Shaz, but I'd actually like you to do your intro, because I've got a slick link between my intro and our guest today.
Yeah. Oh, this is exciting.
You know like they do in Radioland? They're like, oh, I'm going to slick segue into
our guest. Right, I can't wait. Brilliant. Well,
slick is
thought.
Not a word that I associate with Over the Influence, so this should be interesting.
Okay, then. So, my name is Sharon Hartley. Nobody calls me Sharon. Everybody calls me Shaz or Shazza. Married, 3 children, live in Lancashire in the northwest of England. A bit loud, a bit northern, but very, very sober. Set out on a 90-day alcohol-free challenge. Over 3 years ago now, I'm still on that challenge. It is quite ridiculous. Utterly, butterly life-changing. And you will never stop me singing about sobriety. It's just flipping brilliant. Not always easy, we know that. But my God, it is always worth it. Ben, background Ben. Well, he was
Hello.
In the background. No longer. Come forth, sober Ben. Come forth.
Hello, my name is Sober Ben. That's what all my friends call me. I'm Ben, and I am the producer of this podcast. I started off producing this podcast as a drinker, but now over 15 months alcohol-free. And this was the slick segue, where our guest today described an overview of their drinking. She said, I'm trying to push the narrative that someone doesn't have to drink... excuse me, not so fucking slick anymore. I'm trying to push the narrative that someone doesn't have to be a daily drink. Oh my God. Someone doesn't.
This is really slick, Ben. I mean, freaking out.
Edit. I'm trying to push the narrative that someone doesn't have to be a daily drinker or have catastrophic things happen for them to reassess their relationship with alcohol. I'm really chuffed that that was the opening sentence, because I wasn't. I didn't have a rock bottom as such. I wasn't a catastrophic drinker. I do think that if I'd carried on drinking and increasing my drinking the way that I had been for the few years previous to quitting, then it probably could have gone that way. But at the time of quitting, I don't think I was an alcoholic, but I did have a problem with alcohol. And that was that I was drinking more because I was stressed. In my 20s, it was about having fun. In my 30s, it became a way of dealing with the shit that was going on at work, at home, whatever. Anyway, it's not actually that slick now, is it? But Shaz, you're doing the intro to,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, that was probably the least slick intro that we've ever done.
It was. Because I won't try and do that again. Don't worry. I'll leave it to you two.
Polished. Polished is what we are. Oh, that has just really made me chuckle. Ben, thank you so much. Ben, I said this, I think, last time. We love your story and we love the fact that it's happened so organically. I hate the fact I'm using the word organically to describe your journey, but this is where we're at.
What has happened to us?
I hate myself.
Jeez.
What's going on, God, Freddie?
We're the podcast of the people, Shazza. And now we're talking about organic this and journey
it's awful.
That.
It's awful. Let me move on. Let me move on. After that, not very slick intro by Ben and my co-host, Freddie. Sorry, I need to stop laughing. This is a serious alcohol-free production. It's not really. I would love to welcome today's fabulous guest. She's called Melody Woods, but if you are on the sober community online, in particular on Instagram, you will know her as the beautiful Merlot-free Melody. I love that name. Merlot-free Melody. Welcome to the chaos that is over the influence.
Thank you very much. I was going to say, yeah, not quite as slick as I was expecting, Ben, but it's put me at ease, so that's fine.
That's always the plan. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much. So, as I said there, so many people that are alcohol-free or sober curious or dabbling in whatever aspect of alcohol-free life, chances are they may well have come across you on Instagram, big part of the sober community. Mm-hmm. But for somebody that's not, Melody, just introduce yourself to us. Tell us a little bit about you.
So I am 32 years old. I live on the south coast of England. Just bought a house with my boyfriend. It was in a state of disarray, so I live in a building site. Stepmum to two children, which is a whole other struggle to sobriety, but we'll get onto that another time. And sobriety-wise, I tried to get it to a fun number, but it's just I'm 21 and a half months sober. So there were no fun, it's like 659 days or something. Then I went into minutes and I was like, no, I can't go with this information.
You should have done, because Ben loves the sum. He loves his
figures.
I was
trying.
I was just thinking, there's actually quite a lot of similarities between me and you, Melody, because this time last year I bought a house with my girlfriend that was a complete doer-upper and we lived in a building site.
Oh, God.
I am, well, I'm not stepdad, but I am the Ben to two children. And obviously both very good looking people. I'm 33, a similar age. Yeah. No, it's great. Sorry.
Fantastic. Well, no. Let's come back to Ben, because Ben's feeling slick today-ish. And I know Ben, in particular, was really interested in the fact, as he just mentioned in that slick intro, Melody, mm-hmm. about the fact that you don't need a rock bottom. You don't need something catastrophic to happen in order to reassess your relationship with alcohol. And I think that's what we love about this podcast. We look at all aspects of alcohol-free life. People give up for so many reasons, but it could actually be the case that actually this shit got boring, not interested anymore. And I love the fact you said you don't need a rock bottom. So if you wouldn't mind, just take us back a little bit and talk about you before you were 21 and a half months sober. Epic figure, by the way. Thanks. Melody, that is brilliant. Really well done.
Yeah, I like it. It's so I would say my drinking was as average as you can get, every Friday, every Saturday, but rarely went into the other days of the week. It was routine. It was every week, whether there was a reason to or not, I would find a reason. Throughout my life, the way that I segment it now, which comes with sort of nearly 2 years of practice, is that although I wouldn't say that my drinking was necessarily in the problematic stage. Alcohol is the common denominator for the majority of the bad things that have happened in my life, whether that is catastrophic bad things or just average bad things. And so for me, when it got to that point, sort of this time 2 years ago, I was just sort of thinking, should I remove that common denominator and see what happens? But yeah, drinking wise, not a good drunk, not sort of the life and soul of the party, not somebody that anyone has ever said to me, we miss you, we miss the fun you are such a party girl. No, I was the anxiety ridden worrier. Let's not get too drunk tonight. We've got plans tomorrow. Let's make sure that we don't have too many. Let's do this. Like always worrying about how drunk people were going to be, how drunk I was going to be, what that would lead to. And I think that has helped in my sobriety because nobody's said to me, you were so much fun before, because I wasn't. But from a sort of young age, alcohol has always been in my life. I was listening, I'm going to forget the name because I listened to sort of all of your episodes very quickly, but the girl, the young girl who is now working with you.
Oh, Charlie, she's Martina. Amazing.
Yes.
Charlie.
I listened to her episode this morning and she started it and said that she had, her mum was a single mum with a few nasty boyfriends. And I was like, shit, it's my episode. Because I was raised single parent and it was that I was being brought up in the 90s. We were at the pub every weekend after school. We were at the pub. That's just where my mum did her socialising. And then it just got to the point sort of into my teens where a relationship came along and it wasn't a very nice relationship. And that sort of set the way for my introduction into hating sort of what alcohol stood for and what it could lead to. But sort of ignored that for the next 15 years and just carried on and then thought, actually, it's ruined so many parts of my life. But because I wasn't a problem drinker, whatever these are called, you never think to stop. But actually, when you do think to stop, kill surprise, stuff gets better. So yes, I stopped.
And how did you find that journey to stopping, Melody? Because I know it's the cliche is that it's always a struggle and it's, you know, a journey lined with failure and everything else. But I know we had Radio 1 DJ Dean on a couple of weeks ago, and he said he didn't find it difficult to stop. He just did it one day. So how was that for you? Did you find it easy or was it like a tricky period?
No, so I had the last sort of 6 months of 2019, I was getting to the point where I thought I should try to moderate and maybe...
sorry, just excuse me.
I'm looking at Ben.
Yeah. Here we go.
Just have a little chuckle, Melody, and move on.
Ben, Shazza, just keep away. I've seen the way this shit goes down and it's not pretty. So I'm just going to step in. It's a good job I'm so bloody macho that I can keep these two fighters apart because,
Look at him flexing his muscles there, Ben.
Don't worry, I listened to that episode and I was fighting you too, Ben. But it's fine, look at you now.
I love it.
Yeah,
if you haven't heard that episode, I tried to do something called 20 in 2020, where I thought I'm going to choose 20 days where I can have a drink, and that will be my moderation plan, which went to shit when the pandemic hit, so it's not a good idea.
Went to shit in that episode when I heard about it. But anyway. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Melody. Sorry. Moderation.
Bring it back.
Mm-hmm. So I tried to moderate, and it wasn't fun. It never worked, and it was... Let's start drinking at this time. Let's drink beer instead of wine. Let's never touch spirits. Let's make sure that we have a glass of water in between the beers. Let's make sure that my boyfriend's not drinking too many beers so then I don't get FOMO and I'm not drinking too many and this is this and it goes to shit and you feel bad. You feel like you're the problem. And basically, when it got to the December, I was like, right, I'm really going to moderate. Like, that was just pretend moderation. This is real moderation. So I did 3 weeks teetotal, because obviously that's how you moderate, is by quitting. The week of Christmas, I had no more than 2 glasses of red per day. And I thought, shit.
You're more than welcome on this podcast.
We've said a lot worse on this one.
I thought I'd cracked it. It was 2 glasses of wine a day. It was Christmas. And I had succeeded. And then came the 28th of December and we went to my boyfriend's family home in Derby. And if there's anywhere that's going to drive you to drink, it's Derby. and I was doing that same thing. I was, right, I'm going to start drinking at 7. I'll wait, everyone else is drinking, so maybe I'll drink at 6. And should I drink beer? And asking for confirmation from other people. Do you think I should start drinking now? Should I have a beer now? Next thing I know, I'm waking up the next morning, 2 bottles of Prosecco down. And again, I have failed. And it was that, I can't do this. I'm the problem. Why have I let myself down again? And that was it. So, very long answer to your question, Freddie. No, I didn't find it difficult. It was that 3 weeks was the sort of beginning and end of the process. But that I've only ever said, other than the hungover times, I've only ever said I'm never drinking again once.
Amazing. And is it that the case now that you don't think you'll ever drink again?
No, I'll never drink again. Which I think is... I was talking about this the other day. I think in the sober community is I feel as though it's almost slightly taboo to say that you know that you'll never drink again. But I think when alcohol has affected you in such a way that it has affected my life, it will never bring anything positive to my life. It never really brought anything positive. I don't have those amazing nights out that people have had. Because I was just always passed out or throwing up somewhere. So to me, there's nothing that alcohol can bring my life that I would want in it. Unless, I mean, I don't know. It's just a no from me.
Melody, when you were drinking then, so you said you'd drink kind of Friday, Saturday nights. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you weren't necessarily a binge drinker. Like, would you... Well, you just said then that you'd be crying potentially. So maybe you were. But from your email, it didn't feel like you were necessarily... You were putting them away. You know.
No, I was always at home. All of my drinking was at home. I never saw a problem in sort of drinking alone. I was more than happy to sit on the sofa, but it was always, I would go on the Friday, I would buy 1 bottle of wine so I could only drink 1 bottle of wine. If there were 2 bottles in the house and I opened 2 bottles, the second one would be drunk. The worst thing that would happen would be the bottle of Baileys because it's black and you can't see what's inside and I would hold it up to the light. So I think as much as I wasn't drinking huge amounts of alcohol, I think there's always been something inside me that has thought, if it's ever an opportunity, I would like it. So if you go for lunch with people, you wait for somebody to order a glass of wine and then you think, okay, good, we're drinking wine. Or if there's an activity, can I get home so that I can have my wine? Or if you're drinking on a Friday or Saturday, you open the bottle of wine at the right amount of time so that you know that you're going to get the right amount of drunk out of it before you go to sleep, sort of thing. So maybe not problematic amounts, but problematic thoughts within those amounts.
You know what, sorry to keep jumping in here guys, I find this really interesting. It sounds like a lot of people talk about the volume of alcohol and they're shocked by the volume that somebody drinks before they decide to pack it in and quit. It's obviously, we've talked about this loads of times before, it's not about how much you drink, it's about how much you drink for you. You know, it's mm-hmm. how you feel that's important. We also talk to a lot of people who talk about the anxiety that they have after, you know, the day after drinking. They wake up and as they get older, the hangovers get worse and the anxiety kicks in. Or at the time, you know, they get to a certain level of drunk and then suddenly they suddenly, how am I acting? Am I too drunk? Am I all over the mm-hmm. place? It almost sounds like you're an anxious drinker, but before you've even... open the bottle, that you kind of, your bad relationship with alcohol came kind of, how are people going to be tonight? Am I going to get too drunk tonight? And is that fair to say that it was before you'd even had a sniff of the alcohol, you were worried about it?
Yeah. And I think I suffer with, I'm riddled with anxiety. And I think a lot of that comes from when I was younger and there was the relationship sort of in my home where alcohol was very present. There was a lot of broken promises within that time. And the reading that I've done sort of after the fact since I've been sober basically links the two when you're having those sort of promises repeatedly broken to you as a child, you are sort of geared to think that if somebody says to me, like if my boyfriend texts me and says, I'm going to the pub after work, I'll have one and then I'll come home. My mind doesn't hear, I'll have one and then I'll come home. My mind hears, I'm going to get arrested or killed, or I'm in the mafia now. So yeah, anxiety and alcohol for me are just together forever. But it's like a shit fairy tale.
And when you removed alcohol, Melody, well, almost 2 years ago now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How did your mental health improve and your anxiety?
It's a very, very tricky one for me to put my finger on, because I wouldn't necessarily say improved is the phrase, because it is still very present and I'm at the moment in a terrible patch. And in theory, you sort of think, okay, well, I'm sober. A lot of people around me are sober now, so that should fix things. But I think for me, going sober has given me the headspace to assess what is going on and to really work on the root cause of the problem, rather than just, I think sometimes sobriety, especially people around me, which we'll get on to, is just a plaster rather than sort of actually healing the wound. So it wasn't, I think I was 4 months sober when I first went to see a therapist. And I sort of said all these things. This is what I've had. This is what I feel like. This is what I think. And she said to me, okay, so you've got anxiety. And I was, me? And the only way I can describe it to people, if anybody sort of hasn't been lucky enough to not deal with it, is that when whoever makes people, if you believe in him upstairs, is that my portion of thoughts, he gave me like five people's worth of thoughts. So it's like a constant ticking everything. So like Ben, you were saying about even before the drinking is happening, weeks before, if there's an event, it's, can I think of every eventuality? So the anxiety is still there, but it's because of something rather than just this big black cloud that is just, oh my God, what have I done? Everybody hates me and I don't know why, and I need to repent for sins that I don't know what I've done.
I just want to come back to you, Melody, chatting a few minutes ago about moderation. And I do not want this episode to become a debate about moderation, because
I can do it all day.
Well, yeah, you and me both. In fact, we should take ourselves off and just go and have a discussion about the myth that is moderation. All I wanted to pick up on was, even when, and you've said yourself, you know, you were an anxious drinker anyway,
mm-hmm,
prior to the event, and never mind how it leaves you feeling after a couple of days on the Prosecco. I'll just have two glasses of red wine. I'll start at 5 o'clock, maybe 6 o'clock. I was feeling anxious just listening to you, and the noise, those rules make in your head. Did it, when you said, right, no, that is it, I'm committing to zero alcohol for a particular length of time, did it then just clear for you? And I don't mean did life clear and did everything instantly get better. We know that's, you know, not the case, but as so far as removing those ridiculous rules about alcohol, did that make it that bit easier for you, Melody?
Yeah, because you're making one decision rather than making 52 decisions. And for somebody like me, who likes to think about everything, to just say no rather than, and then this, and then this, and then this, and I'm sort of sketching out post-its on the wall. If I do this at this exact time, then I can handle this at this time, and then we'll get home and nobody will cry and everything will be fine and nobody's in the mafia. It wasn't perfect instantly. I think I had 3 months of, the main thing for me was the loneliness at the beginning, because I didn't know that sober Instagram was a thing. I knew one other person that was sober and I thought she was quite boring, and not in a knob way. Like, she just was quite a boring person, not my cup of tea. And I just thought, I'm alone, I don't know what I'm doing. It was, at that point, it was scary for me to think, am I doing this forever? So I thought I'd go with the whole, I'll just say that I will drink when I want to drink, but I just don't want to drink right now. But that was a lie because, I mean, I want a drink all the time. Is that fair? Do other sober people still want, like, I want a drink even though I don't want a drink?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I think that is really fair. And I think, you know, Freddie will talk about this because Freddie mentions it quite regularly. Don't you, Freddie? And for me, I don't want to drink, like physically want to drink, but still occasionally, if there's, I don't know, an occasion or something in a garden or something, I will just look. I'll look and I will wonder.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I will very quickly wonder what that would be like.
Yeah.
And then I remind myself of the shit that comes with, you know, the hours after that one glass, even that half a glass that does the job within 2 minutes, you know. And I just have a little inkling, a little nosiness, and I think, nah, not a chance. Loving alcohol-free life too much. So, yeah, you're certainly not alone. I know Freddie could perhaps talk a bit more about that.
I was going to say, Shazza, picture this. I'm about to get my revenge, by the way, because summer is coming on this side of the world. So literally, 3 days ago on Saturday, just picture this, if you will. I was, it was a Saturday afternoon, had a pretty hard day on the mountain bikes with the kids, and sat by the pool, and yeah, the sun is getting low in the sky, but it's still quite warm, so I'm still there in my budgie smugglers, and I've oiled myself up with Hawaiian Tropic and just sitting there, and someone says, "Ooh, mojito time," and then you kind of sit on your hands and you're like, no, not for me, thank you, I'll have some fizzy water. And they're like, "Oh, okay." Then you listen to the kitchen sounds as I turn over to sizzle my buns, and and then you hear like the clink of the ice, and they're like, I was gonna make the noise of the
That's exactly it.
You saved us £2, mate, there. We didn't need to go to the sound effects bank, so cheers.
And then, then the person brings the drinks, like, literally under my nose, these three ice-cold mojitos. You can smell the mint. And then everyone's like, oh, these are strong, aren't they? How many measures? Oh, these are so, I can feel it, like, literally in my head. And I was just there, like, just biting my fist. And I had to take myself out of the situation and just neck about 3 pints of water. And then go home and then neck a couple of Diet Cokes. And so, yeah, that's a very long and visual way of saying I always still want a drink. But, yeah, you just think it'd be pretty shit for the podcast, really, wouldn't it?
Really shit. It'd be really shit.
It catches you at weird times as well. Now, Melody, we've already established that we're very similar. So I imagine that you are watching Married at First Sight Australia at the moment.
No.
Oh, right. You'll love it, trust me. And I mean, I like to, like, each other very well.
I jump on hypes like 2 years after. So
okay. Well,
come back
really
to
enjoy
me.
The series in 2023. Okay. It's one of the best ones. But they were having an argument over a beer. I think it was the way it was filmed. Freddie, as you say, it's coming into the summer over there. Like, it was really cold and a full pint of lager, and the little bead of water was just dripping down the side. And out of nowhere, I was like, I want to drink that beer. That exact beer that he's having right now. It does catch you out. That's when you start thinking the benefits, isn't it? You know that actually the benefits of alcohol-free life are better. And in fact, you were talking about that a bit earlier. You said, obviously, we talked about anxiety a lot, but you said that even though you were somebody who didn't drink a lot of alcohol in terms of the volume of alcohol, you still saw tangible benefits.
Just how many hours are there in a day?
Why
do we not know this? There are so many benefits, and it is everything. It is the time in the day. It is the lack of arguments in the relationship. It is just being able to decide when you want to do things. Sobriety in itself gives you so much control to do what you want to do. And if you want to spend all day on the sofa watching Married at First Sight Australia, you can do that. If you want to get up at, I don't know what time, and get on a mountain bike, not me, but you can do that. So it is what you want to do when you want to do it. And for me, that covers every benefit. And it's given me a better social life than I've ever had. Like I said before, I was just sitting on the sofa drinking Merlot and nothing else. And now I've got friends. I've got real friends that I go and do things with. It's given me so much confidence. And I just thought I was this sort of quiet thing that spoke too much. I still do the talking too much thing. But I didn't, I would have never believed in myself when it came to anything. And it's that thing where you sort of say, if somebody said to me, like, what are your hobbies? I like to watch TV. And now if somebody said to me, what are your hobbies? I don't know if sobriety is a hobby. I practice it. So yes, it is. But it's just given me so much more. And I know that more isn't really an answer, but it's just, sobriety is a gift for me that has changed my life completely. And it isn't perfect, but goodness me, it's a lot more interesting than it was before.
I absolutely adore that answer.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel, and we just wanted to let you know a bit more about us.
Sound Rebel produced this podcast, and we work with all sorts of personalities to help them engage with their current audiences.
We work with actors, football commentators, comedians, personal trainers, radio presenters, hello, influencers, and even world record holders.
So, if you've got an audience but don't have a podcast, get in touch with us.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and take your place in the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world.
Right, back to the episode.
Just tell us more about the benefits of, you know, you've gone from sitting on the settee drinking Merlot to having the best social life ever, which is incredible.
To me, that is something that Instagram gave me. Instagram gave me a group of friends. It doesn't just get delivered. You can't pay extra for that. Basically, in March 2020, I clicked on Catherine Gray, Unexpected Joy Of, on Instagram, ran a thing with Millie Gooch from Sober Girl Society, which was called Sober Spring. And you put your little, like, at Merlot Free Melody, Hampshire, and then I was put in a group of sort of other sober people in March 2020. So just when lockdown was sort of savaging the UK. And it was absolute perfect timing for me because I was feeling so lonely. Lockdown, everybody else drinking more. Pictures on Facebook and Instagram. Pints, pints, pints. And I just wanted people who understood what it felt like to not want to slash be able to be doing that. So I've got these people in my life now. There's a handful of us that still talk every single day. Creating my Instagram page is one of the best tools to my sobriety and something that whenever anybody says to me that they're sort of struggling with sobriety, I will always tell somebody to just start an Instagram page, even if it's anonymous. Because the support you get from people who don't know you on the internet is, in my experience, so much greater than anything you will experience from people that you know in real life. Because the people that you know around you are probably drinkers and they don't know what it feels like to want to stop. So Sober Instagram gave me friendships that are just so... It's a connection on a different level when you just know that you're going into a conversation with somebody and at no point is there going to be, oh, I had a beer last night. Oh, I want a beer tonight. Oh, I'm hungover. Anything. And you realise when you're in those conversations or you're going to those sort of meetups or anything like that, just taking that away from it for somebody like me who, as we've discovered, thinks too much, it just puts a new level of calm on the situation. And some of you may have seen Freddie, I know, was jealous from across the world. I went on a boat party last month. Went on a boat party in London, 120 people, 4 hours. Why am I talking in bullet points?
You reading the poster?
Yeah, literally. And it was just a sober, a no booze cruise. And to go to something like that, meet people in real life that I've had connections with on Instagram for months and know that there's going to be no drunk knobheads there was just an insane, like, out of body experience where I can't even explain. I cried my eyes out because it just felt safe, even though you're with 120 people that you haven't met before on a boat in London. It was just so comforting. And I would have never done that. I would have never, or do you want to go on a cruise down the Thames with 120 strangers? No. So yeah, social life just for me now exists, and it didn't exist before.
With sober socialising, and I think it's amazing that we can have these safe spaces for people to get together and just enjoy connections, because obviously the opposite of addiction is connection. Do you have any interest in doing things like going to the pub anymore or being at social events where alcohol is still involved? Or is it just a case where you have this wonderful new sober life with sober people and it doesn't enter your mind?
I don't think I would necessarily, I wouldn't avoid going to the pub, but I have, I've tailored my life so that the people who are in it the majority of the time are sober now. So my boyfriend will be a year sober at the end of the month.
Nice.
Oh, thanks. Awesome. I know I did that. I didn't do that. He sort of influenced the lighthouse effect.
My season 1, episode 5.
One of the girls who I met through the Sober Spring, I would class as one of my best friends. We do a lot together. My mum is sober. I just don't really want to spend time with drunk people, but I would maybe do it. It wouldn't be something I would avoid on purpose, but drunk people aren't that fun for me because of the aforementioned worry.
Melody, if you don't want to talk about this, please don't. You can tell me to be quiet and we can move on. Not a problem. But you just
I'm happy to talk about anything, and it's obviously what I said to you in the email is I spoke about it more on my episode of my podcast, not in sort of great detail, but you don't have to sort of avoid the whole.
Well,
we're talking about domestic violence for anybody who
I don't. I don't want to go down that route, and I don't want to, that's not what I want to ask you about at all.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, it's fine. And obviously we really respect what you've been through and where you're at, and we were not going to bring that up at all tonight because we didn't want to make you feel uncomfortable. But it's just something you said there was really interesting. You said that your boyfriend's sober and your mum's sober.
Mm-hmm.
When did that happen?
When I stopped drinking, my boyfriend carried on drinking for about 3 months. And there were a couple of very bad hangovers. He's very much, again, your average drinker. A couple of times a year, hits it too hard, hangovers. I mean, he's 37, so goodness, they were lasting longer than they should have. And he carried on. I stopped. It got to lockdown. He had quite a bad hangover. And he sort of said, okay, well, if you're not drinking and we can't leave the house, I'm not going to drink on my own at home. Something I never had a problem with. And it sort of got to the point where he did 4 months without anything. Then he had 2 pints. Then he did another 4 months. Then he had a shandy. He would say that that isn't enough alcohol to class him as drinking that time, but I would say, yes, it is. Had a shandy, did 6 months. And I sort of say to him, and he would always say to me, I'm not quitting drinking. I'm never going to say to you, because he didn't want to give me false hope, because I want everyone to be sober. He would say to me, if I ever go home, I'm going to see my friends, I'm going to have a pint. I'm never going to say to you that I'm going to stop drinking, because I don't want you to think that that is sort of on the horizon. So I was trying, but as we know, you can't make somebody else go sober. And in March of this year, at which point he had already done 5 months. I don't do maths. He had a family member pass away from complications due to alcoholism. And it was that day that he said to me, I'm done now, because she was his age, left behind two children.
Oh, God.
Ashley, my boyfriend, has got two children. And he just said, quite simply, I want to be here for as long as possible for the children. To do that, I need to look after myself. And drinking alcohol means that I'm not looking after myself. So he said, you've won. I was like, shit. I can't be happy because somebody's died. But he has sort of made that decision. So there was tears. And yeah, he will be, on the 30th of October, he will be a year sober.
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
Oh, and I did my mum as well.
Your mum. That's incredible. Because obviously when we started chatting at the beginning, you touched on spending a lot of time in the pub when you were growing up and younger, and not the best environment. But you just said your mum's sober now. Tell us about that.
So she is 10 months sober.
That's amazing.
She was somebody who just didn't have an off switch. It wasn't all the time. She was what you would say is a binge drinker. It was, she would happily go sort of 6 weeks without it. But then if it started, there would be sort of no texts the next day. And you sort of think like, is she dead or is she hungover? She was hungover. And it was just sort of not slowing down in a way that isn't dramatic, but just this was carrying on. And she is my mum, so you can make that age reference yourself. And I stopped. So I think I'd done a year, and then she sort of just started texting me saying, I don't think I fancy a beer this weekend. And you sort of like tread very gently. Oh, well done. Good. You don't want to go straight in with the like, yes, these are all my facts and figures. And then it was 6 weeks. And then she was saying, oh, I think I'm going to start actually counting. I'm sure it was this day that I last drank. And then you get the text through of the months. And she was doing the same thing. She was like, I just don't fancy it at the moment. But if I do, I'm never saying never. And now I think she sort of is saying never. And it's just another thing where it just takes my base level of anxiety for people that I care about to be sober sort of down a level, because you don't have that worry of if you're texting someone and they're not texting back, what are they doing or where are they or are they safe and things like that. And my best friend is also, well, everyone's a year sober. My mum said to me that it was watching me do what I do and be so open about it. That was her inspiration to stop. And I think when you have come from the place that we came from when I was younger, to do this whole thing and now be here where I've influenced her to cut it out of her life, that's like
the Matrix. That's incredible, because it could have been very different, couldn't it? Your drinking actually could have been very different. I know it was problematic for you, but as you said, you weren't drinking every single day. You didn't have a rock bottom per se. Your drinking was just so massively impacted through what you went through with your mum when you were younger.
Yeah.
And to have inspired your mum now is just, it's wonderful. Melody, you must be so, it's proud. Can I say
it's,
that?
Yeah, it's a very weird feeling.
Mm.
And it's just something that I will talk about, because I think not a lot of people, maybe a lot of people, some people won't realise the impact that they're drinking, if they have children, what that impact is going to have on them. And I can say very matter-of-factly that drinking that was going on around me, not just by her, but other people, when I was a teenager, has ruined my life. Sounds dramatic, but is also apt. And I think when we have this like mummy wine culture and people just think, oh, daddy's hungover, it's so funny, or get daddy a beer, or mum needs a wine, or I've got through the day, the children have driven me to drink. You don't know what impact that's having on the children, and they're bloody sponges. And they remember the things that you say from 6 months ago and they bring it back to you. And I just think, I'm here to say things that happened to me 15 years ago, I now need therapy for. So let's just try and make less of that. Do less of the drinking around the children if we can, because they are bloody hard. But nobody really deserves to have that impact. And the things that I've sort of linked to almost as bad as like PTSD tendencies when it comes to the thinking that I link with drinking because of what happened. Is that a bit too disjointed?
No, not at all.
It makes perfect sense. And I think I said it earlier on, but you know, the common story is that anxiety is linked with drinking after the event. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an action, which is the drinking. There is a reaction, which is the anxiety. I think I've never even considered that for you, it's kind of a pre-action almost. Mm-hmm. And it's because of that environment when you were growing up that even the thought of alcohol makes you go into overthinking mm-hmm. mode. And I like, that is like, how many of the people will have that based on situations that have happened to them whilst they were growing up? They link alcohol with negativity before they've even had a drink of alcohol themselves.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole other conversation, isn't it? It's another podcast in itself, talking about the impact that drinking as adults has on children. You've reminded me of a friend, Melody, today, and she messaged me, this is a couple of years ago now, to say, thank you for doing what you're doing. I think it's amazing what you are doing. And I thought, God, I didn't realise that she'd ever had an issue with alcohol. She hadn't ever, but she was so traumatised by her own mum drinking that even the smell of gin tipped her over the edge. And it just stuck with me so massively. Doesn't drink herself, teetotal. For her own reasons, but it was just that association. And she was just saying that, you know, I'm so glad you've stopped, because I've got children, three children, and obviously it was having a negative impact on my family. They were just bloody sick of it, to be honest with you. And that's, again, it's a whole other story. And it's just been a really interesting perspective to talk to you about your earlier environment and the impact it's had on your own drinking, but then to come full circle and you've stopped and your boyfriend stopped and your best friend stopped, but the fact that your mum has stopped, I think is just it's breathtaking.
Yeah, it's and I'm pretty sure this is true, but I haven't listened to it. Did you have Sarah Drage?
Yes,
on
we did
the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, in kind.
So she does a lot of work with NACOA,
yeah,
which is the adult child of alcoholic.
I'm hoping
charity.
We're going to get them on for a chat. I'd love to speak to them.
They're, when I only realised through Instagram infographics that what I was feeling was because of those things. And it was following their pages and sort of looking at some of the stuff that they put out that I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So that, if that is of interest to you, or if people are hearing this, we hate the word, and we know that the word needs work, but my mum isn't an alcoholic. She was never an alcoholic. But just the drinking that happened wasn't healthy. And you don't have to be an alcoholic to have an unhealthy relationship with alcohol. So if anybody who is listening draws any similarities, I'd highly recommend sort of doing some searching, even of like the hashtags for NACOA, just to see. I just find so much comfort in community and realizing that you're not silly for feeling a certain way.
Thank you so much. That was a really fascinating chat, and I'm sure there are going to be so many people listening to this that have been where you have been, you know, that have been the child of a drinker, even a grown-up child now, you know, still dealing with it, still living with it. So thank you for being so honest. Thank you for coming on, because I know it was a really big deal for you to do this. It can be really quite hard, can't it, being put on the spotlight and, oh, let's talk about your personal life and let's talk about alcohol. And it's really difficult, but you've done it, and you've done it so honestly and so eloquently. You have a very posh voice compared to me. It's
That's
lovely.
Because I'm not drunk.
Eat you short like this when you've had a few beers, do you, Melody? All right, love.
Now I've had telephone voice for the last 21 and a half months.
It sounds beautiful. Beautiful. No, it's been a really, really interesting chat. So thank you so much. You say you've got a podcast yourself and you're on social media. Give it a plug.
Yes, so you can find me on Instagram, doing ridiculous reels at Merlot Free Melody. And after you've listened to this episode, my podcast is called Hi, I'm Sober. So go and listen to that, where I talk about sobriety with lots of other sober people.
It does what it says on the tin. Literally. I love that.
I couldn't have called it anything else, because that is, when I meet people, one of the first things I say. So very apt.
Hi, I'm Sober. It's brilliant. Melody, aka Merlot Free Melody, thank you so much for your time. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you as a guest on Over the Influence.
Thank you very much for having me. It was daunting but satisfying, much like sobriety.
Yes,
you can have that one for free then.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you. Meet Nicola.
Hi guys, my name's Nicola and I am just over 2 years sober. I recently went camping for a week on my own with my daughter. It's not something I would have done whilst drinking, because it would have been too hard. It wasn't hard, it was epic. But one thing I did miss was adult conversation with people I know. And Over the Influence, it just makes me feel part of something, when sometimes being alcohol free can make you feel like you're on the outside looking in. So thanks for everything you do, Shaz, Ben, Freddie. Even though, Freddie, you're over there enjoying the sunshine, winter now though. So thanks for everything you do, guys. It really does help and I appreciate it. Thank you.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk and be part of the Sober Rebellion.